Acts chapter 12. We'll begin reading in verse 1 and read down through verse 5. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. And verse 5 is where we want to center in on this evening. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Focusing in on the phrase, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church. I'd like to preach tonight just for a few moments on the subject, what happens when the church prays? What happens when the church prays? You think things happen when the church prays? Amen. We say it so often, and it bears repeating. And I know sometimes you hear it so much from myself and from Pastor Cal that it goes in one ear and right out the other. But we say it so often. The keys to be successful in Christianity is to do three things. Come to church, read your Bible, and what? Pray. It works. It's not that difficult, but it works. If you do that consistently and with a committed life, you won't face battles and face trials, but you'll be able to face them knowing that Jesus is right there with you. And prayer is the greatest weapon we have as a child of God. And I would say it's probably the least used weapon of the church. And you say, why is that? Because if the church would pray like it should, we would see more things happen. In fact, I think we would see more churches full. I think more people would come. And people had seemed to write it off on other things. But listen, whenever things began to happen in the church over the last few centuries, it all started when somebody began to pray. And prayer is a powerful weapon. Prayer is a powerful weapon. The F.B. Meyer said the greatest tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but it's unoffered prayer. Corrie ten Boom said, is your prayer life your steering wheel or your spare tire? It's a great question to ask us today. It's been said fervent prayers produce phenomenal results. It's also been said prayer delights God's ears. It melts his heart and opens his hand. God cannot deny a praying soul. Can you say amen right there? Prayer should be the key of the day and the lock of the night. C.H. Spurgeon said, prayer is not a hard requirement. It is the duty of a creature to its creator, the simplest homage that a human need can pay to divine liberality. And Leonard Ravenhill, a great preacher, wrote in his book, Why Revival Tarries, no man is greater or woman, no man or woman is greater than their prayer life. And we can all say amen to that. You show me a strong Christian, and I guarantee they have a strong prayer life. Why? Because they understand prayer is the key to heaven and faith unlocks the door. Prayer is the way we communicate with God and communicate with him on a daily basis and a personal basis. And what I'm about ready to say, I think you understand where I'm going, but I'm not browbeating us, but I want us to just to enlighten us a little bit. We've thinking about the next generation coming up and the need of prayer. We try to push the importance of prayer. And even in the middle age and those that are older, but listen, we've lost the art and the ability to communicate. That's why I feel the prayer life is suffering in the church, because we've lost our ability to communicate socially. We don't talk to one another anymore. And I'm not browbeating, I'm just saying that's a fact. We use our phones to communicate, texting and things like that, and those are great things for quick communication, but really, we don't know how to communicate with one another anymore.
And that, I think that suffers because when we learn to talk to one another, we learn how to talk to God. And we've lost our communication with God, and therefore we've lost our prayer line to God. And this chapter shows us the importance of a church praying. When the trouble came, they began to get on their knees and began to come together as one body and began to pray. The disciple Peter was in prison, and they knew if things were going to happen, they needed to pray. And so you'll find in the rest of this chapter, there's four things I want to share with you tonight. What happens when the church prays? How many of you believe with me tonight? You're on the same page that prayer is important. Prayer is the key. We need prayer. Okay, we're all on the same page. Let's notice some things tonight, and I think we can get a blessing out of this sermon tonight. What happens when the church prays? Number one, sleepers are awakened when the church begins to pray. Sleepers are awakened. You say, where is that? Well, in verse 6, the Bible says, when Herod would have brought him, talking about Peter, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. This shows us when the church begins to pray, thank God, angels are dispatched to the need of what they're, the answer to the need that they are praying about. And number one, sleepers are awakened. Listen, if we are going to see the church woke up today, it's because the church of God has to get back on their knees and begin to pray. Churches are being lulled to sleep by Satan. They're being put to sleep and rocked to sleep by their monotony. They come to church every single service and do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And my friend, the devil is rocking us to sleep. They come to church, sing the same songs, pray the same prayers, preach the same sermons, and expect God to move. I'm telling you, Satan is rocking the church world to sleep by the monotony. He's also rocking them to sleep by their methods. They think their denomination, they think their certain doctrine is going to cause them to rise up. No, listen, we need to be founded on the only method that really counts, and that's what thus saith the Lord. Hey, listen tonight, folks. We're being rocked to sleep, and you say, Brian, it'll never happen at Rubyville. That's when we are in danger of it happening to us. We can't get caught in the same old rut. We can't get caught in the same routine. And before you know it, we'll be sleeping in the pews, and we'll need the power of the Holy Spirit to come and wake us up again. And I think he's also rocking the church to sleep by their materials. We've never had more beautiful churches. We've never had more beautiful places to worship. When places are being built, it's just amazing to see what churches are doing today with the money they have. And there's nothing wrong with that. God has provided us a beautiful place to worship. But listen, if we start worshiping the materials, if we start worshiping what God has given us and we keep it to ourselves, my friends, we'll be rocked to sleep. But listen, when we continue to do what we're doing, supporting people like Joy and the Bacon Hasters and the many ministries that we support, as long as we don't shut up our bowels of compassion, I'm telling you what, folks, we will be rocked to sleep if we don't continue to do those things. The devil's rocking us to sleep by our monotony, our methods, and our materials. But the church began to pray, and Peter was awakened. And listen, I begin to think about the last few weeks, what's been going on here at the church. And of course, we know all the people that's going through tragedy. And listen, it don't matter how large of a church you are, that many deaths at one time and that many deaths over a short period of time can rock us and listen, can knock us and just basically punch us in the gut. And we don't know how to react sometimes. But aren't you thankful that God knows what to do in those times? And he's sending us an outpouring of his love and an outpouring of his spirit. And listen, what Satan is trying, I'm not saying Satan is in control of all these deaths, but what I'm saying is he'll use those things to get us down and to rock us asleep, just to come in and just go through the motions a little bit just to get us by. But listen, I love to put the black eye at the devil. Satan, you may have tried to put us to sleep, but what it's done, it's given us a greater desire to go to heaven and to worship God, because we understand this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Thank God I know I'll see him again when this life is over. Hallelujah. Sleepers are awakened when the church begins to pray. What else happens? Shackles are broken when the church begins to pray. Verse 7 again, then behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off of his hands. He was bound in shackles and chains. But when the church began to pray, shackles fell off from his hands. Hallelujah. But you notice, the church didn't set him free. It was the Lord that set him free. When we're going to understand, we have no power within ourselves, but when we combine our efforts and when we pray, and listen, Peter was an apostle of God. He was a disciple of Christ. That shows us that sometimes even the best men and women of God can become bound by things of the world and also by the pressures of life. But I'm thankful that we can gather around and we can pray. And when we pray, thank God, chains fall off and we're free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Shackles are broken, and it's going to take the prayers of the church in order to turn this thing around in this country, in this community, and in this county. The problems we face are insurmountable when it comes to things of this world. I appreciate everything that communities and people do to try to get people rehabilitated in their right mind and do the right thing. I appreciate more than you'll ever know. But I'm telling you, if we neglect to pray, we got to understand the only freedom that these people really have is freedom in Christ Jesus. It's hard enough when they get saved. But I'm telling you, if they try to do it without God, it won't be too successful. But I'm thankful that when we pray, hallelujah, shackles will fall off, chains will be broken, people will be set free. Hallelujah. What's Satan trying to bind you with tonight, friend? Is he trying to bind you with pride? Is he trying to bind you with jealousy? Is he trying to bind you with depression? Is he trying to bind you with the things of this world? Is he trying to bind you with trying to impress other people? My friend, the littlest things can become large shackles if we don't give them to God. Regardless of how insignificant you feel, and regardless of how insignificant you think it is to pray about certain matters, listen, there's no need to hold on to it. Let us pray with you. Let us help you, and let those shackles fall off. Amen? Glory to God. What else happens when the church prays? Sleepers are awakened. Shackles are broken. What else? Satan's defeated. Yeah, he sure is. He sure is. Where's that found at? Well, verse 11. We know what the Bible says, and so the angel told him to gird yourself. In verse 8, he did, and he cast his garments about, and he began to follow the angel. He went out, and he followed the angel. In verse 9, he saw a vision. In verse 10, when they were past the first and the second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which openeth to them of his own accord. And they went out, passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of all the people of the Jews. What was he saying? Herod is a type of Satan. Herod is a type of evil that had him bound and had him chained. But thank God when the angel of the Lord came after the church prayed and he walked out of that prison, and when he finally came to himself, he said, now I know Satan has been defeated. Satan has been defeated. Thank God I'm set free from the bonds of Herod. Why? Because the Lord made a way and delivered me out of my trouble. R.A. Torrey says, when the devil sees a man or a woman who really believes in prayer, who knows how to pray, and who really does pray, and above all, when he sees a whole church on its face before God in prayer, he trembles as much as he ever did, for he knows that his day in that church is at an end. Aren't you thankful? No greater words were spoken than when the church begins to pray, Satan can't stick around. Why? Because he's not welcome here, bless God. Hallelujah, he's defeated. He's defeated, hallelujah. What else happens? Sleepers are awakened. Shackles are broken. Satan is defeated. And finally, saints are astonished. So the Bible says he comes to himself. Verse 12, when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. And this is where the church was gathered. And many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, now think of this. Just picture this in your mind, how funny this is. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. So here's Rhoda, it's me. Open up. It's Peter. She goes back in and tells everybody, it's Peter. He's at the door. She didn't open the door. Left him outside. But she went back in because she was so excited. And they said in her verse 50, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, it's an angel. Here's what's Peter doing. Hello. It's really me. I'm out here. He continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Now you said, well, that's great, Brian. What's that? Listen, wait till you find out what astonished means. Guess what it means to be astonished? It does, but it means more than that. So the angel comes, sets him free. He walks past through the iron gate, past all the world's devices. Comes back to where they're praying. They're still praying. But they don't pay attention to the miracle outside the door. And they kept on praying. Now please, hear me out what I'm about ready to say, because it ain't going to sound like you might not agree with what I'm about ready to say. Sometimes we pray too much. And we miss the wonder of what God is doing right in front of our eyes. Oh, I felt that. You say, how do I know when I pray too much? Listen, when God gives you peace about a matter, if it takes once, twice, four times, 10 times, if he gives you peace, just sit back and wait for the miracle to come. But these people were so caught up in the miracle coming, they didn't take time out to watch the wonder that was about ready to happen. They didn't believe it. When it happened in front of them, they were astonished. Now look what astonished means. Astonished in the Greek means to be amazed, of course, but here it is. To be out of one's mind. You know, these young kids will know what I'm talking about. They got a phrase called mind blown. You know, when they see things they can't understand, they go, mind blown. Because they can't wrap their head around it. That's exactly what happened. That's what it means. When they looked and saw Peter on the outside, they just got done praying for the miracle to happen. The miracle happened right in front of their eyes, and their mind was blown at the fact that he was standing right in front of them. And they would have missed it if they hadn't stopped praying. Listen, folks, God says it's time to look around. Maybe the miracle is standing right in front of you. And listen, aren't you thankful that when God does something so good, we just sit back and go, I can't imagine. I can't wrap my head around it. Listen, it's not for us to understand. It's not for us to try to figure it out. It's just time for us to be astonished and be amazed and praise him for who he is. Amen. Because sometimes he does things that I don't understand. And it would be terrible of me to miss my blessing trying to figure out what he's doing. Young people, stop trying to figure out what God's doing in your life and enjoy what he's doing in your life. Don't worry too much. It's okay to have goals and it's okay to set goals. But listen, I guarantee, how many of you can raise your hand and say when you're 18, 19 years old and you started to make a list of the goals that you wanted for your life, that they turned out the way you wanted them to? That's what I thought. And sometimes you start worrying about tomorrow and you don't enjoy today. That's why, that's why God says you need to enjoy today, because you don't have the assurance of tomorrow. And we're going to miss the miracle right in front of us if we worry too much about what's going to happen. Hallelujah. They were worried about the answer, and the answer was there. God blows our minds sometimes. And I'm telling you, he does it when we're not expecting him to. Yesterday afternoon, I had the honor to preach a funeral over on the west side. And her name was Tammy Moore. Tamara Moore, they called her Tammy. And she was mid-50s. And she battled cerebral palsy her whole life. And she was just a joy to be around. She would go to church and she would see people shouting, and her legs were, her body, her head was a normal size, but her body was atrophied, and she was very small. Her legs were real short. Her arms were drawn up like this. But she kicked those little legs out. And she praised God in services. And so I texted Pastor Cal before I said, just pray, because this is an easy one, because she's going to heaven. There'll be a lot of unsafe people there. Just pray that we can share what we need to share. So we did our best and tried. But they'd asked me to sing some songs as well. And so songs I hadn't sung in a while, Where the Roses Never Fade, and songs about heaven. And then they said, we want you to sing I Want Us to Be Together in Heaven. Cal, I'd forgotten about that, so I had to pull up Singing Cooks. And I had to hear it one more time. So I was worried about singing it and worried about getting the words. And so I thought I had them all. And I really wasn't paying attention to what I was singing while I was practicing. Just paying attention to get it right. So I was up there above, having a guitar. And you may have a fancy car, you know. I want us to be together in heaven. So I started on the chorus. And I want us to be together in heaven. I want to walk down the streets of pure gold. I want to run through the... And then I lost it. I didn't even notice what I was singing. Here's a lady laying in a casket that had never walked, that had never ran. And I started to picture her in heaven. Mind was blown. And I stopped and I said, folks, did you just catch what I say? She's running right now. She's running through those fields that she wanted to sing about. And God blew my mind to think about what's waiting on the other side. And then this morning, we come in here, and how we hear of people that have passed again, and how we're praying for these families that are going through sorrow and suffering. And then we start singing songs about heaven, the unclouded day, the Spirit begins to move. And then we start singing, looking for a city. And man, I just couldn't stand it. All I could see was my Papa James Ray. Woo, that was his song. And all I could see was him. And I've been missing him a lot lately. I guess it's just thinking about heaven more lately. And I want to see him. And I got to thinking about, and God blew my mind again to think, Brian, we don't even realize how close he is to coming back. And listen, folks, may we be astonished, not so much astonished at what he's doing that we just stand in amazement. No, but let's soak it in. Let's soak it in and say, Lord, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you are doing. And hallelujah, we're trusting you to do so much more. Why? Because we're praying. We're praying. We've already seen it displayed tonight. I didn't let Pastor Nat Cal know what I was on my heart. I was just going to let the Spirit move and how we gathered in as a church to pray for joy. And even though we can't be with her thousands of miles, we still can be with her because our prayers are with her. Prayer is just as big as God is. Prayer is just as strong as God is strong. Prayer can reach as far as God can reach. Don't ever give up. Just pray. Don't ever give up. Just pray.